So there were just a multiplicity of things that you had to watch and get all sorted out right and get all the components working. We had some problems that would make your hair turn gray just building those S2 suction lines, the vacuum insulated lines. I couldn't have vacuum leaks and under cryogenic conditions.
Successful construction of those sometimes depends on new advances in metallurgy.
I'd say not so much metallurgy, but the tooling, manufacturing process, quality process, all ending.
That's well.
And they have an extreme quality in everything. When you take that skin thickness 10,000 and stain the steel bellows and suction lines, there can be no flaw. Flaw too small to be seen now. Let alone if you say X-ray, then well. Each inch of any well was X-rayed and re-X-rayed and re-X-rayed again and again, sometimes after operation. Different crews of experts would come in and think they would see something.
Gee,
it is safe. So, under a stage like the S2, where the tolerances are tight, where the stress levels are high, you just tighten yourself up where you worry more about less. Perfection you have to achieve in a factory and quad holes is just unheard of. And I'd say will never happen again. And I think the technology, the people now have learned not to push themselves in any one area too far. I think that's one of the saddest factors. Did push you a little too hard in the situation, yes, and you pay for it by having to try awfully hard and watch yourself very carefully. Good grief, the thing performed beautifully. You know, we had the Saturn V, 7,000 pounds. I forgot how far it went by this division.
Did I up about 45 at one time and about that?
So it had afterward, found out what capabilities and reserves were in operating conditions. It did perform well, so it did pay off. We wouldn't have been able to carry that little lunar rover up there if we hadn't gone with the lightweight construction in the S2 for time. It saved several. We were able to do more than we originally set out to do, even through the space. Spacecraft, the way he did grow, we were able to accommodate it and to give it a little margin to carry more experience. So sure, and I know in shuttle, for example, that in these structural areas, they'll be a little more conservative, use a little higher margins so that they don't get themselves in a tight spot, particularly in the tanks.
Stuff I've been reading is a terrible lot about that man from O'Connor and Phillips in particular, who worked for him. And of course, there was a thing that Phillips reports his team. I was checking my age again here before you came on board as the SD manager. And Yarkin? I forgot.
Yarkin. Sam Yarkin.
Yarkin was out there with Phillips.
He was the manager at the time Phillips.
It was not until after came on board then that North America really shuffled people out there and put Greer in. I forgot.
No, Greer came in just prior to my coming on.
Okay.
He was assigned a management problem out there. He said North America on two very demanding jobs. Very, very demanding. I told you the S2 was demanding.
Yeah.
Actually, the spacecraft was equally. So the total drain on their resources, any other major contract, I'm sure that was true. In a pop. Each other contractor had one big piece, but not two big pieces. So they really ran lean on management capability, really desperately struggling. solve their problems and upgrade themselves. And fear was certainly a very successful move on their part in terms of the kind of management that it took to bring out the S2.
Why do you think fear was so successful?
As an individual, he was very successful, and he was a brilliant engineer and had enough management know-how to develop his team, pick the best people, and get them in the right positions and proceed to get the job done. He had to have both good overall engineering, system engineering knowledge, and he had to be knowledgeable of people and project management on that scale. He was. He had had prior experience in the engineering field. So he just had the combination to bring that into being. He had some good people working. Excellent people. Engineering and lower level people.
That reorganization
eventually. They did.
How did that work? What was the balance there? How did they complement each other?
They did very well, because Greer at that time was still very potent, I would say, in the many, many technical management, engineering, manufacturing problems to get the stages to divide, ready to fly. And I'd say without the assistance in terms of keeping the shop running, Bob would have made it. He came into a project already deep in trouble without much knowledge, and he needed very much backup and support by Bill Parker. Have the, I'm talking to the person, opinion. But I would not have that combination, that exact combination of technical and people know how that Bob Greer. Bob had more horsepower, and Bill supporting the project knowledge. They knew what mistakes they had made. They knew what, he knew what they could and couldn't do. But I don't believe he could have all the tough decisions with the same forcefulness and resources that Bob Greer found as he got settled in the job. So just, I'm just trying to give you my opinion.
Would you say that Parker was stronger in technical areas or
no,
people areas? As I recall, too, about that time, they called the system for information. FMID hours. Faith and Information Systems Division.
Right.
And about that time, they split the engines out of it and just made it Space Division.
Right.
So it made it easier then for Greer to one thing instead of having to worry about it.
Greer was totally dedicated in the S2. They also had another guy in there, if I can remember his name, who was had a lot to do with the success of the project. Capturing problems, building that darn thing to the process. Without it, they'd make it easy. We, of course, our people here, the experts in the various technical fields, worked independently throughout on many, many problems. Find something stalled out, you know, at the shop if they're having trouble. Ralph would get on it. And he had company contacts all throughout the company, how it went wide, to help him troubleshoot, you might say, which is the key to the stalling, getting it stalled out.
What about Arthur Root and all the talent? How did he cope with the S2? What was his?
You see, Arthur hadn't had the entire Saturn V to cope with. He knew that the S2 was a showstopper as far as he was concerned. He knows that communications going. All of the major reviews, as well as the key center people, Reese, on the major technical decisions. the author's handling of the thing was more helping the project manager work with all of the tough elements he had to work with to get the job done here at the center, at headquarters, at the case. He left the project. The project manager off his problem. I can assure you that that was the case for him on two different stages.
Yeah.
And of course, the communications were very intense between him and the project manager. He demanded all the problems and all the proposed solutions. And he had me with his staff of experts to be sure that he could, and he would then present those to Sam Phillips and the major reviews and to other people to check and double check the whole point of the entire Saturday. Tiger team?
They had some at MTF, right? And they had some out at Seal
Beach. Seal Beach was the big operation. At that time, the S2 was several months behind earlier entire launch vehicle. So it was clear the process of technical decision making in some of these problem areas where, for example, a man on the West Coast, a contractor or a government man out at Seal Beach would see a problem. Now the process of coming back and talking to all the experts and getting communication back to the company was pretty slow, and there were so many things going on that Ford to handle the total flow of community. We were doing the best we could with any one problem. So the Tiger team consisted of picking a bunch of technical experts very carefully, from here, sending them out with Sam Yarkin on the West Coast to live out there directly with the problems. Got first-hand, quick reaction capability, technical on the spot. That's when I was brought in to be the anchor man here, because we still had to keep our support reacting to the people out there to be sure it worked. And also I had to work with Rudolph, to keep them aware of what was going on. So we shifted of the S2 management, technical and management in their way, to this period of 2 or 3 months until it began to get on its feet. And then about the ARP left the government with John Douglas, and I gradually phased out. We never, of course, left. We always had more people there.